Welcome to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Gary Cohen, author of Just Ask Leadership, Why Great Managers Always Ask the Right Questions, Part 1 of 2. Hi, on behalf of the entire Strategy Driven team, I would like to welcome you to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Gary Cohen, author of Just Ask Leadership, Why Great Managers Always Ask the Right Questions, Part 1 of 2. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve superior results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag articles found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. In this special edition podcast, Gary Cohen, partner and co-founder of CO2 Partners, shares with us his insights on how question-based leadership helps create an accountable organization aligned to the accomplishment of both its short and long-term goals. So now, without any further delays, let's get started. We are privileged to be joined by Gary Cohen, author of Just Ask Leadership, Why Great Managers Always Ask the Right Questions, and partner and co-founder of CO2 Partners, a Minneapolis-based executive coaching and consulting firm. Gary is renowned for his work as the president and co-founder of ACI Telecentrics, a company he took from 2 to 2,200 employees and a peak of $32 million in annual revenues. Under his leadership, ACI grew at an average compounded rate of over 50% for almost 13 years and was recognized as one of Venture Magazine's top 10 best performance businesses and Business Journal's 25 fastest growth small public companies. Gary is frequently interviewed on leadership issues by many of today's leading publications, including USA Today, The Washington Post, Business Week, and now the Strategy Driven Podcast. Gary, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Nathan.
I have really been looking forward to having you on the show ever since I got to read Just Ask Leadership. It's not every day when I get a hold of a book that is just so perfectly aligned. It was almost like it was written for the Strategy Driven website. But your book and how you address organizational alignment and accountability is phenomenal. And I think our listeners are in for a real treat as we get right into the heart of really what it is Strategy Driven is all about.
Well, thanks. And if you could actually see me, you'd see me beaming on the other end. It's as a first-time author, it's very flattering to hear such comments. So I appreciate it.
Well, Gary, this is great. And to start out our conversation, and well, first, I guess, when I looked at the title, Just Ask Leadership, I was envisioning a book about asking leadership questions. But it's very much the opposite. It's about leaders having a question-based leadership approach. Could you define for our listeners what you mean when you talk about question-based leadership?
Yeah, it's about the leader using questions to move people to action. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's oftentimes we think of questions as just about gaining knowledge, and that's certainly an aspect for leaders. But it's more than that. It's how does the question inspire somebody to move forward, to get engaged mm-hmm. in the work? And what I found was in doing, I think I did over 100 interviews for the book with exceptional leaders from former CEO of CNN, Walter Isaacson, who's now at the Aspen Institute, to head of the Federal Reserve, and on and on, to very small entrepreneurs. And the one thing I found in common was they were asking questions between 70-80% of the time. And it was about engaging and aligning their people based upon the questions they asked.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad to hear you say that. It draws me back to something in my career when I was in the service and we had a small issue come up. And I had asked my boss, the division manager, what could I have done differently? And he said, well, you could have asked better questions. And for years, I thought of, well, okay, I asked this question, I got this answer, which indicated everything was all right. Maybe I could have asked 2 and 3 and 4 questions, which would have put me into micromanaging. But it's the point that you just made. What I didn't ask was a question that would have engaged the people working for me to use a different approach, maybe to have a bit of a different judgment applied to engage them in the activity.
So if you thought about that now, what would that type of question be?
I think I would have, instead of asking them specifically, did you do this? I should have asked more probing questions. I should have asked them, what have you done to ensure that this is safe? Has there been something that you think you could have done better? Is there something that you felt you took a shortcut on? Or just even ask them if there was something they didn't feel quite right about.
Because I'm assuming that the outcome of what happened was not good.
It was not good.
Okay. Yeah. And so what you're saying is you felt bad about the situation, and if you had asked a different set of questions, you might have had a totally different outcome.
That's correct. And I think I asked questions putting myself in a position of trying to be a safety net to make sure something wasn't missed, rather than asking a question that engaged the worker to be more thorough and more safe.
Yep.
And so when you said, hey, we need to ask questions to engage people, it was like the light bulb went on. It was like, well, that's what I should have been doing. I shouldn't have been asking questions to alleviate people of their responsibility. The JO is going to be my safety net, and he's going to take care of asking the questions and making sure it was done right. I should have been challenging them to be more engaged so that they didn't need me to be the safety net and ask all the safety net questions.
And so that they could become accountable.
That's correct.
Yeah. And what's interesting is, you know, so many people, when they hear the book title, they automatically go, oh, the Socratic method.
Yeah.
And I go, no, it's not the Socratic method. And they go, well, what do you mean by that? It's all about asking questions. I said, you know, I know that Plato wrote about Socrates, and the whole idea was Socrates didn't know the answer. But I never bought that, because based upon my reading of it, he absolutely knew the answers that he wanted to get from the people when he asked the questions. Mm-hmm. So all he's doing is asking questions that, you know, kind of meander the person to an outcome that he already knew.
Right.
And I found, like, you know, I attended the Harvard Business School for their OPM program, the Aspen Institute, and they all use the Socratic method in teaching. And it's mm-hmm. a great tool for teaching.
Yes.
Because it gets people to think. However, in leading, people look at it as there's a lack of authenticity to it. There's a game playing. Like,
yes.
Just keep asking me the questions until I get it right. Just tell me what you want me to do, and I'll go do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so I wouldn't want people to be confused with the just ask model with the Socratic method, because they're very different. Because we really come from the notion of not knowing. And it's really tough. Philosophically, it's very hard for leaders who have moved up the ranks, okay, and
mm-hmm.
done every job along the way, and how they won their position is by knowing. You know, each time they got smarter and smarter, they got A's going through school or whatever they did, but they know that getting the answer was how you win.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're finally in this job in which you're responsible for a whole organization, and you haven't been an accountant, you haven't been a head of operations, and
yes,
knowing doesn't really help you anymore.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you have to deal with all these situations that, like you said, you've never encountered. They're foreign, and you have to rely on other people.
Yeah.
And you have to know how to engage them in a way so that you can rely on them, that fosters trust and accountability and the like.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, Gary, before we go on further into the question-based leadership, I was just wondering if you could share with the audience some of the quantitative and qualitative benefits you've seen organizations get out of using a question-based leadership. Because I know from a strategy-driven perspective, we always say, in fact, the audience heard it when they tuned into this podcast, that greater organizational alignment and accountability gets superior results. What do you see as the results people get?
Well, because we're dealing with leadership, mm-hmm. and it's so in some ways ephemeral. It's, you know, we how do you measure that it in a dollar format? I can say that the areas in the companies that I've worked with, I can quantify the difference. So one company I came in, they were losing $150,000 a month, and now they're making $150,000 a month, and it took about 6 months to make that turn. And would I say it was all question-based leadership? Well, I'd certainly say I'm very consistent, so it was all part of the process. But it led to strategic decisions because by using it, it got people engaged in the process, and it got them to think outside of the boundaries that they were confining themselves to.
Okay. And naturally, I think the qualitative benefit is that greater organizational engagement. Now I guess what I'm hearing is you're really now pulling in all of the thoughts, the hearts, and the minds of your workforce. And with that bigger pool of knowledge and talent to draw from, you can turn that into these quantitative benefits.
That is it. Because what happens is as you go through a process of aligning the organization and you involve more and more people into that process by asking them, what do you think we should do? How do you think we should solve this? Where do you think we should go? And you actually listen and you don't just nod your head in amusement. They get that you're listening, and then they see that you say, so how are you going to make that happen? Oh, not only are you listening, you actually want me to be involved.
Yes.
You're not going to tell me what to do here.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you wind up getting many people working with you, okay, rather than a bunch of people doing what you're asking them to do or telling them to do, more likely.
Okay. And that's a segue, I think, or a really good segue into the next question I had, which, you know, I was so often struck as I read Just Ask Leadership that the question-based leadership approach fostered accountability within the organization. Is there a particular reason that just kind of evolves or happens with a question-based leadership approach?
Well, okay, so let's take you back to your early days of leading,
okay
as an example. And if I asked you the question, do you ask more than you tell, or do you tell more than you ask, or do you do about the same amount, what would you have said?
I would say really early on, I was probably about 75% tell and about 25% ask.
Okay, so if we would imagine back then that I would have asked you, and when you're a follower, do you prefer to be asked or told, what would you say?
I prefer to be asked.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I do this with every audience that I speak to on the Just Ask topic. And the answers are the same. Okay?
Okay?
And even though they know I'm there specifically for the topic of Just Ask, okay, they're authentic enough to say, no. About a third says they ask more than they tell. Everybody else is pretty much tell more than they ask.
Yeah.
Okay? But then I say, a little while later, I go, okay, so that's when you're a leader. But as a follower, when you're following somebody, what do you think? 97%, and this is everybody, I keep, you know, accumulating the data, 97% of all those leaders say they'd rather be asked. So, you know, this, it drives me crazy, you know,
yeah,
because there's that disconnect between, okay, so I get when I'm the follower, I want to be asked, but when I'm leader, I'm going to tell.
Right.
And I think that's the piece that it becomes so abundantly clear, both to leaders, okay, and to the organization, that is just ask. It's not, they know it to be true inside. You know, it's not like I came up with this. It's not I discovered this. It's more like I'm telling the story of what other people have known for years.
Yeah, and it's amazing how I think we know some of these things to be true deep down, but we either don't want to admit it or we just don't want to do it, and then we keep telling people what to do.
Well, there's an addictive quality to it, isn't there, which is – knowing. I mean, come on. I was talking to an audience the other day, and somebody asked me a question, and I absolutely knew the answer. You know, I was sure I had the answer for this person. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling so good inside, like, all right, you asked me the perfect question. I feel so good. And then I said, and I'm going to show you how difficult it is. I'm not going to tell you the answer. I'm going to suggest that you know where to find it. I'm going to suggest that you could search under these types of terms in the internet and come up with it. Mm-hmm. I think your organization already knows the answer to this, and you could ask them. And I can't tell you how hard it was for me to hold back telling them.
Sure, sure.
Because you want to feel good. I helped this person. I shared with them. And we do this all day as leaders. We get into this position of somebody comes into the office and we say, so how can I help? And the person comes here with a problem, and you've been through that problem before. So you go, yeah, let's do it this way. What do you think? Oh, yeah, that would work. And they go on far on their way. But let's say, so you feel really good about it, and you've just crippled them. Because mm-hmm. as they've left the office, they haven't learned a thing. What they've learned is to depend upon you for the answer, and that you're always going to be there to give it to them.
Yeah.
And so how do you switch that around? How do you alter that notion of when somebody walks into your office, you ask yourself the first question, whose decision is it?
Okay.
How would that change it for you? When you go into a situation, how would it change it for you if you always asked yourself the question first, whose decision is this?
I think for me personally, yeah, if I were to sit back and really ask that question, I think the one thing it would change is then I would stop trying to be the decision maker in all the cases. If they were the decision maker, then automatically I would have to key in and say, I can't make the decision for them. I can't vacate their accountability or responsibility for that decision. I need to make sure they have it. It changes my role.
It does, dramatically.
Yeah.
And it changes the type of questions you ask, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because to help somebody else find an answer, you don't need all the information.
Right.
When it's your decision to make, you feel like you need all the information.
Okay.
So there's a whole leverage that you get in not being the person solving it. Because it's kind of like they're the ones on the ground, right? They're up front.
Right.
They know what's going on. They have all these intuitive reads that you could never have as the leader.
Right.
However, you have the ability to draw that out of them for themselves.
Okay.
So an example of this would be, so how did Sally look when you explained that to her? Mm-hmm. Oh, and all of a sudden you see like their eyes twinkle at, oh, she was upset. I wasn't even reading that before. Are you tracking that? So the whole notion is that once you get the person to recognize that they can open up somebody else, okay, or mm-hmm. you can open up somebody else, their eyes start to twinkle and they go, oh, I got it. I can solve this now.
Yes.
They had the answer the whole time. They just didn't know it.
Right. And it's our responsibility not to give them the answer, but rather to help them get the answer if they're the decision maker.
And it's so painful. It, as a leader, when they talk about courage and leadership,
mm-hmm.
you know, they always go to these huge examples like Gandhi and Nelson Mandela. And, you know, I have a hard time comparing myself with these folks, okay? They're bigger than life to me. To me, the courage of leadership every day is about showing up and facing this fear of saying, I don't have to be the person who has the answer.
Yes.
I'm okay with being the humble one here who can just ask the questions and let the other person feel successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's hard.
Oh, it's tremendously hard. And it's not only hard, I sit back and I think, hey, I struggle because I look and go, well, gee, it takes extra time. I want to feel good about myself and give the direction. I'm the leader. I've earned this. There's just all sorts of a number of reasons why I don't want to let them learn and experience and be accountable, and I want to hold it for myself. It is the hardest thing to do.
And it's destructive of the organization if you do anything but that.
Yeah, because you're not creating the leader that you need to replace you when you move to the next position. Or likewise, you know, your boss is not helping you to grow to be the leader that you need to be to take over his or her position.
That's right. And if you think about it, you add to that the complexity of what's going on today in society, okay,
mm-hmm.
that we're being bombarded with choices and information, and that the generation we're now leading already knows how to get to that information. You know, when you talk to your kids and you say, why is the sky blue? I don't know. Let's go look. Right? And they're
right.
saying, I'm going to go Google it, or I'm going to go ask Jeeves or whatever to figure it out. Our employees have that same power.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the new ones know this, and they don't want you to tell them the answer. So often I hear from people that after a meeting, they run back to their computers to look up words, to look up ideas, because they didn't fully get something, so they wanted to be knowledgeable about it, but also didn't want to be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives you a sense of what people can do if they choose to.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And they need to be given that opportunity.
Yeah. You know, there's a great story of many that came from the interviews I did, which was absolutely so fun. I'm one of these writers who writes based upon inspiration rather than consistency. So I didn't just every day like say, okay, I'm going to type a page.
Sure.
I waited till I had an interview that just totally moved me, and then you couldn't distract me from it. It was like I had to get it down on paper because the idea was so powerful. And this, the one I'm thinking about is General Jack Chane. If you remember at the beginning of the book,
mm-hmm.
he says, you know, one night his daughter said, so, Daddy, what do you do? And at the time, he was a staff officer in the Pentagon. And he says, I answer questions all day. And okay. And then, you know, a number of months later, he got promoted. Okay. And it might be months or a year. And he felt obligated to go back to his daughter and say that his job had changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so he as he's tucking her in, he says, honey, you know, I just wanted you to know my job's changed at the Pentagon. I'm now a commander. So what do you do then, Dad? Now I ask the questions.
Yeah.
And to me, that's just it. He got it. At a certain point in his career, the switch had to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so clear about that switch happened. Where so many leaders, they stumble into it accidentally.
Yeah.
Or they don't. And the book is really about those that aren't stumbling into it accidentally, or the ones who did stumble into it accidentally, and what they could do to be intentional about it.
Right. Right. So, and you talk about that, Gary, a lot of times in your books. I saw the examples where you worked with leaders and had them stop, and you challenged them. What's the right question to be asked in this situation? Is there a method or a process you go through when you're working with folks to help guide them to say, you know, this is the right question. You know, I've decided who the decision maker is. Now, what's the right question that I need to ask?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll take you through two different ways. One is there is a process that we have developed, mm-hmm. and it works. It's really cool. It works with our assessment tools and our training model. And the thing that you're referring to in the book was almost pre that. Okay. I've gone from unconsciously competent to consciously competent, and now I keep raising the bar as I study this more and more. And so what I do with clients very specifically, and it's mm-hmm. so amazing how it works. Anybody in your audience can do this with any of their employees so easily, which is somebody comes and tells you a story. Mm-hmm. Okay. And almost without fail, they go, and I told them not to do this, or I told them. So you're looking for the word I told, or, you know, I made them, or it was a command, a demand on their part. And yes. I go, yeah, how long have you worked with this person? And, you know, invariably 5 years, 7 years, 12 years, whatever it is. I go, you know them pretty well, don't you? Yeah, I think I know them pretty well. Okay, so if you had to ask a question instead of telling them, what would that sound like? So what question would you come up with? And then they'd hem and haw and, you know, roll their eyes, and then they go, okay, I think I know. And invariably, it's a leading question. And what I mean by a leading mm-hmm. question is they already know the answer.
Yeah.
And it's just they're asking the answer as a question.
Okay.
Okay, and I go, so I show them this, you know, I kind of hold up the reflective mirror, and I say, okay, so you know them pretty well, and they know you pretty well. So do you think they're going to see through this? Yeah, and they smile, and yes, of course. Okay. And I go, okay, so now take us one step further. So ask the question of them that you really don't know the answer to, that it's on topic, but you don't know the answer to. And they're thinking, and all of a sudden it comes to them, and they ask the question. You know, like, what would be the three strongest ways in which to accomplish this, and in what priority?
Okay.
Okay, and all of a sudden, you just see this huge light go on in their eyes when they come up with the question and say it out loud, and I said, what's going on? Well, you know, you said I really know this employee well. Yeah. Well, I just started imagining them. And when I started imagining them in my mind's eye, when I asked the question, oh, my gosh, it changed the whole thing. And yeah, truly, it's like the light has been shined on them. And so I said, so would you feel comfortable going back to them now on the same situation, even though you've had this interaction, and try it out? Yeah, I could do that. Okay, so that would be the exercise that we would go through. And I'll tell you what, I do it over and over and over again with the same clients because it just creeps into our lexicon of mm-hmm. I want to command, I want to tell, I want them to do it my way. I have a mental model of how it should be done, and it's the right mental model. And I said, you know, there's something about this that when the fastest way and the best solution is not the overall best solution. And now I know that part of your life is at Deloitte. I always use Deloitte as an example of customer intimate, which is we want the overall best solution for our customer, not the best, the one that works encompassing all aspects of what's going on.
That's right.
Right? And so to me, if the employee is engaged and it's their idea, often that will get them to the finish line further, faster, cheaper than your idea, which may, in fact, empirically be better,
mm-hmm.
but not better at all for the situation. It's not the total best solution. It's just the best solution.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And you know, when you mention ownership, I mean, that for us, that's a huge, big deal. because if someone doesn't own it, they're just going to resist it. And you're going to kill productivity. They're not going to own it. It's just never going to work out. It is not, as you say, the overall best solution.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't tie everybody in. It doesn't tie everybody in.
So that's the example of what the audience could do. They can also learn more about it by reading Just Grass. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed part one of this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. I would like to personally thank Gary Cohen for being with us today and sharing his insights on creating greater organizational alignment and accountability through question-based leadership. As always, we would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. You can find more information about Gary Cohen and Just Ask Leadership at www.justaskleadership.com. Until next time, so long.